all day long. And Finn Westland, Senator Westland, was not able to be with us because those of you who know that we lost Ben Linden, Bill Linden. His funeral services are today in Portland. And so some of our people went out to give support, lend support to the family. And Ben was one of them that was requested. So we will carry on. What I'd like to do is to ask Ms. Mente if she will bring us up to date to where we are, and because some of this legislation, and celestial legislation, this budget has also been in the Committee on Health Policy and Public Affairs. That's right. So so some people might be wondering about that as well, and we'll make some comment about that.
Ms. Deborah? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, what I thought I'd do is, since this is the first budget or work session you've had in this subcommittee, it may not be the first work session you've been in another subcommittees, but just in case, I thought I'd go through what you have in front of you. You'll always get a packet of information from LFO. Now, depending on the analyst and the agency, it'll look a little bit different, primarily the memo. Also in your packet is what's called the work session report, action report, and it looks like this. It's computer-generated. And then you'll have the key performance measure form. As I said, each analyst will probably bring things in a little bit differently, particularly John and Sheila with a large agency like DHS. They may even have you go through and improve at the decision unit or program unit level or by policy package. Since medical examiners has a fairly simple structure and it's a fairly small budget, what I thought I would do, if it's okay with you, is just go through the whole budget for the policy packages, give my recommendation, and then hopefully there'd be a motion to either move that recommendation or some other. Then we'd move on to performance measures, and then there would be a motion for that, and then you could act on the whole bill if that works for you. The memo is basically, there's three parts to the memo. After the summary budget information, we'll go through the governor's recommended budget policy packages and what the LFO recommendations are. Then there's a section for legislative fiscal office adjustments. A couple of these adjustments you're going to see in every agency. Package 801 is what we're going to use for statewide adjustments. These would be like the PERS rate reduction or the AG rate reduction. These are reductions that affect all agencies. You'll see when we get to this portion that we don't know what those are yet, and so of course I don't have any for this budget, but we will catch them up in an omnibus bill at the end of session. Package 802 is another package you probably see in every budget, and that's where we're tracking the Ways and Means co-chair 2% reprioritization. And then after that would be individual analyst adjustments in that section. So, if there are any questions, Madam Chair?
Or may I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Related to the 2% reprioritization package 802, the LFO recommendation is to take 2% out of the increase for travel allotment. And Ben says this is generated from fees that are raised by licensing. What's the potential to actually put this someplace else?
Well, I think, and actually we do know that there is not a potential to put it anyplace else. It means that it will go back to that ending balance at some point. But the process is one where no agency can escape the fact that there is a 2%. And so it will be a part of their grand scheme of thing. I'm trying to use the language here. It's not a limitation, but it will go back to their ending balance.
I'm not going to do any more.
So it goes, we just increase the size of their ending balance, and that's it?
That's it.
What's the point of that?
Following the co-chair's recommendations.
We march off the bridge together under orders.
Yes.
No matter what.
Now, please, for the sake of this agency, who has done an excellent job in managing their resources, and as I always tell them that they have, but this process is one but the marching orders that comes from the co-chairs. And even though we can't do anything with the money because they are dues, they're generated through the agency itself, and we can't give it to somebody else. But it's a matter of being able to follow the orders of the co-chairs. And if at some point that this committee finds that this recommendation is not one they want, then I'll take it into consideration.
And if I might just comment,
you said
your indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I'm probably as good a team player as there is in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind doing things when they have an obvious redeeming feature to them or there's a reason that makes sense. But I don't understand why we should not allow them to increase their knowledge by going to, you know, whatever kinds of conferences or whatever they want to go to. And it's better just to have the money sit in their ending balance than have them be able to do what their board has decided is the best thing to do.
Right, right. Now, you certainly making points that I would say probably make sense to you, Representative Morgan, but one of the issues that we had to do, where else we would take the 2% from, and I'm willing to listen to this committee if there's another area we see that we can take the 2% from. But in terms of the 2%, we will definitely follow the instructions of the co-chairs on this issue.
Well, and I can see the point of taking 2% out of a general funded budget where you can actually allocate that money and make use of it in ways that both the co-chairs and the subcommittee members are interested in, along the lines that the co-chairs memo outlined.
I promise you, you will have your chance, because one of the things this subcommittee chair has thought about is, and let's open the work session and have this discussion so everybody can join us.
I'm fine with that, and I thank you for indulging me.
Oh, that's okay. Are there other comments? Other comments? We will now open the work session on Senate Bill 5527, Board of Medical Examiners. And Deborah, would you let's go through the policy package recommendations. And why don't you join us, just in case there are questions as we go along. Did you want someone else to come with you?
Sure. Okay. Or Carol, in case. Numbers.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. As you said, Senate Bill 5527 is the budget bill for the Board of Medical Examiners. And I will jump right into policy packages. Package number 101 is titled Integrate Public Safety and Customer Service. This is the agency's Tech Med project that they talked to you about. It's also their continuous improvement initiative, and also in your packet they've provided a two-page front and back focused presentation on how it meets that initiative. This package replaces the agency's databases, applications, and reporting systems with a new licensing and case management system. The current system is 15 years old, as you heard in their testimony, and lacks case management capability. The new system is expected to help reduce the number of days it takes to process applications and renewals, as well as provide tools to more effectively manage increasing investigative and compliance workloads. The system is expected to be implemented or completed implementation mid-2008. The majority of the costs you see here is one time and will be phased out of the agency's 09-11 budget. There, and as we talked about in public hearing, there's sufficient revenue in the agency's budget to cover these costs with no fee increases. Since it is a new project, the agency has agreed to provide a status report on the project as part of their 09-11 budget discussion, including final costs and performance results. That's package 101. And in case I didn't mention it for the record, LFO recommends approval. I have no proposed reductions to that package.
Comments? In terms of the performance measure, Ms. Haley, that you have regarding what is the outcome that you say that that you would have in terms of any of the 1, 2, 3, which one do you have? It was two of them, and I should have marked them when I read them. But in terms of performance measures, what will you see differently happening in the agency to enhance the direction in which your agency is going in terms of your performance measure. Where would you point to, what measure would you point to that you would have outcomes in terms of Package 101?
Chair Carter, members of the committee, this is Kathleen Haley for the record, and I think the primary one would be licensing efficiently, and we had some discussion about that in the budget presentation about a reduction in the number of days in which to license an applicant.
And she would be, as we heard last week in her presentation, she would be lowering the numbers of days that it takes them to be able to license licensees as they come in.
Madam Chair, just for the record, I'm going to say what I said the first time. I'm a little concerned about that performance measure being looked at that simply. The number of days to license a position in the state is, I don't think, onerous at this time. Most of these physicians are coming from internships, residencies, other states, and one of our biggest challenges is to make sure that the information we have in them is correct. Not just we get it in, but it's correct. If this package will help you kind of crunch the numbers, that's great. But you and I both know that there has to be some legwork behind that. You have to follow up on stuff, and that takes time in some cases. And I just want to caution the board to continue to be very vigilant and careful and not try to meet an artificial standard when we know that we potentially have some problems out there.
That's... Did you want to respond to it, or you just making a statement? Ms. Haley?
Sure. Chair Carter, Senator Bates, public protection is always paramount with the board. So if anyone has any what we call red flags, they're pulled out of the mix, and they go through a rigorous process of review by not just staff, but also board members, and ultimately the full board before they're licensed.
Senator Bates, one of the things that when I had a meeting with Ms. Haley, that we thought that this should be one of the packages where we trust them to come back with the actuals. If the days are not, you know, lowered, I'm hoping that this committee would not look on that as a disfavorable thing, because it's a package that they've never had before, and I'm willing to trust them since they have pretty much run this agency with great efficiency. Further comments on package number 101?
Madam Chair, are you looking for motions on the specific packages, or are you looking for a motion on the whole bill?
Well, what I was looking for each package, because there might be, as you raised, some concerns, and rather than to do the whole bill, I thought we would do it in terms of packages, unless that none of you at this particular point have any problems with their budget in terms of the package and the different measures, the different packages that they have, and we can do it at once.
Well, I think I've made my disagreement clear, but it's a process disagreement, not with this individual bill. So personally, I have no problem putting one motion forward for the whole bill, but it's at your discretion.
Very good. I like hearing at least some common support in this committee, and so I would be willing to just go on to the next package and let everybody raise any concerns at that particular moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Package 102 is titled Workload Management, and there's a lot of things in this package, so I've got a table in the memo that breaks up the pieces, and then you can also see the small recommended reductions that I'm making. The first piece is a licensing assistant position. It's one position, one FTE, and again, it'll help them accommodate a workload increase that they acknowledge they're seeing a pretty big increase in applications. The permanent fingerprinting position is the next. This is a half-time position, and it's actually they have a limited duration approved this biennium, and this makes that position permanent. I'm recommending one technical adjustment, and that is to adjust the flex benefit budget that's generated by the system to reflect the half-time status of a position. This will not hurt the agency. Office reconfiguration, this is a one-time increase. It will come out of their next budget. This allows them to redesign the newly acquired contiguous office space so that it's more productive for their workflow, and also allow them to replace non-ergonomic workstations. The next piece is the increased medical consultant pay by 25%. This will allow the agency to increase the hourly rate that they pay for their medical expertise to a more competitive rate without sacrificing any of the flexibility that they already have in their base budget. So this will allow them to do that, as well as hold something back in case there are unknown, unforeseen things that happen that require them to spend that professional services budget, and allow them to take advantage of other initiatives similarly to what they did this biennium with the new system and having the independent audit of the licensing program and of the health professionals program. The next little piece is the contract for the summer intern. They asked for an increase in the professional services budget of $5,150 to contract with a promised diversity program participant. The recommendation is not to approve the increase, which isn't to say not to approve utilizing a promised diversity program participant, but it just looked like from looking at their actuals that they had sufficient expenditure limitation in their base to accommodate this contract. So overall, of the package, the LFO has $16,574 worth of reductions, and leaving the revised total package of $229,210.
Ms. Haley, how would this affect the intent of dealing with the issue of diversity in your agency?
Chair Carter, we have a long-standing commitment to diversity in the agency, and I think the increases in staff percentages show that. But we would try to absorb the cost of this because we're excited. We would like to try this promise internship anyway.
Great. Thank you. I'd love for you to do that as well.
Madam Chair, let me follow up. What will be the responsibilities of the summer intern, and was there any thought given to having more than one?
Chair Carter, Senator Gordley, actually we were talking about it this morning and decided that we would bring it to our management committee so that we can come up with a fairly coherent program for the person so they're not just coming in and being left kind of adrift. So we will put together a whole plan for that in the next month or so. And we have also talked about whether we can afford to do two, if we can do two or not, and have enough work.
Thank you.
Further questions? The next package is package 103, titled Mental Health Services for Licensees. This is the expansion of their existing health professionals program to include mental health issues. Right now, the current program just addresses chemical dependency. I think in their testimony, the agency indicated that approximately 60% of the 2006 program participants had mental health, like a dual issue with chemical dependency and mental health issues. Approval of this package will allow them to expand the supervisory council to include mental health professionals, mental health panel, and reclassify the program manager. Since this is a new program, I left out an important piece. $50,000 of the package is to conduct a biennial independent program review to make sure the program is running effectively the way that they wanted it to. And since this is a new program and the numbers were, you know, best guess, because we haven't done this before, obviously the agencies agreed to provide an implementation status report as part of their 9/11 budget discussion, including actual cost and performance results.
Comments? Questions? Senator Gordon and Senator Bates.
I wonder about waiting 2 years to get an implementation status report, and wonder what other thought has been given to having a report earlier than that, a report that could come to the emergency board, or Madam Chair, if we are adopting the new retimed session, a report that could come in February or thereabouts. I'm just concerned that we would be waiting 2 years to find out how this this effort is moving forward.
Chair Carter, Senator Gordley, we had not thought about an earlier report to you, but we certainly could do that, and maybe February of 2008 would be a good time to do that.
I think the question I want to know then, how much time is it going to take you to gather some kind of data of the effectiveness of a new program in less than a year's time, but maybe not 2 years' time.
Chair Carter, Senator Gordley, once the program is initiated or launched, I think we'll open the doors. We'll start to see people coming in, so we'll be able to provide that data to you, who they are, what their diagnosis is, what kind of assessments they need, what that costs. I think we should be able to provide that to you.
Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is one of the issues that still needs some work on, not in this budget, but in a policy piece coming out. Mrs. Haley just said something. I'm sure she didn't mean that who they are is not going to be reported.
Okay. I knew she didn't mean that.
Yeah, I know you didn't mean that, so let's fix it up for the record. We are really looking forward to this program. This is something that's been long needed, and we really appreciate the board bringing this forward. I'm speaking for my colleagues, and I really appreciate this. We've talked about it, not gotten off the ground before. I think you're going to find probably the response will initially be a little slow because physicians are going to be somewhat fearful of telling the board, I think I've got a depression or anxiety or other problem, and stepping up. And they'll need to know that they're absolutely safe to do so. There won't be demos to the public or to any kind of a situation with the board that might lead to any kind of restriction or license of that nature, any of that nature. So I think it might be a little slow getting off the ground, but my guess is that within a couple of years, you're going to have to come back and ask for a lot more money for this, and it'd be money well spent. And at that point, or maybe before, you'll be able to report to us what the response to the program's been, you know, what kind of disease you're dealing with, and how effective you've been, but not who they are. And so with that caveat, I really appreciate this package. We're looking forward to seeing it go into place.
Representative Boone?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Board of Medical Examiners, for doing this. This is one of the unintended consequences of that's good of state government responding to what may be an emergency preparedness need in the future. And it's something that we're going to see all these little intricate pieces and parts fall into place as we put our plans forward. But it's something I hadn't even thought of in terms of this kind of service, and I think it's great. Thank you.
Distinguish for me the difference between the Supervisory Council and the Board, and if indeed the Supervisory Council does not come back to the Board and mimic everything that happens, or is it kind of is the setup such that the Supervisory Council maintain anonymity of the persons who come?
Chair Carter, the board appoints the 5-member supervisory council, and part of what this package would do would be to include a couple more supervisory council members, one of whom would be a public member, which would be a change. They have to have expertise now either in mental health or chemical dependency. And the board does not know of anyone that goes in voluntarily into the program. And the same would be true when I said who they are. I didn't mean their identities. I meant more their diagnoses. So I apologize for that confusion. The board does not know of the identity of anyone that goes in voluntarily and participates. At the same time, the board may, through the application process, become aware of someone needing that service and will refer them to that program. If someone does that the board refers there does not comply in good faith, then those individuals are reported to the board for potential discipline.
Further questions? Comments? Thank you.
Package 104. That brings us to Package 104. It's titled Transparency and Accountability. This was the package, if you remember, that they wanted to use to increase the visibility of the board. It would allow them to have 2 meetings, a biennium, outside of their Portland office, and it would also allow them to develop public service messages, if you will, buy some radio airtime to get that out. In working with the agency to identify their 2% reduction, the agency identified this package, and don't get me wrong, I don't think that they're advocating that they'd like to get rid of it, but in terms of meeting their 2% reduction, they saw eliminating this package to be more palatable than reducing the essential budget level. So that's why the recommendation says not recommended, because it's actually part of achieving that 2% target should you decide to take that.
Comments?
And so, Madam Chair,
Senator Gordley?
Just for the record, this is a recommendation that's coming from the agency. It was the agency's idea.
Chair Carter, Senator Gordley, in order to try to meet that 2%.
I would just comment that I think that the board having the ability to meet outside of the Portland area is a good thing. We often hear concerns, complaints even about some parts of government being too urban-centric, Portland-centric, and so I look at this with a question mark. Why would we want to put a barrier in place to prevent that? And then the other question I have is just... I'm wondering about collaborative opportunities around publicity, collaborative opportunities with the new patient safety commission, and I don't know what those opportunities might look like, but I am wondering if there have been conversations, at least, between the Board of Medical Examiners and the patient safety commission about where there is a link and where there is work that could be done that helps the public better understand reporting opportunities, etc.
Chair Carter, Senator Gordley, we have sent them a couple letters requesting some opportunity to spend some time with them and talk about this, so we're awaiting word back from them.
Would the non-recommendation or the giving up of this piece keep you from meeting outside of Portland?
Chair Carter, I don't know that we'd be able to afford it with the budget the way it is if we take this out.
But in lieu of the 2%, you see yourself giving this up rather than for it to be taken out of some other line.
Chair Carter, we did because we see our essential mission related to protection of the public, and to have to trim too much over professional services and those types of things really inhibits the agency and its essential mission. That's the reason why we chose this. The other thing is Representative Gerard suggested maybe we try to see if some of the stations would do at least not the meetings but the announcements as a public service.
Thank you. Further comments, questions? Senator Bates.
I would agree that this package is a stay in for several reasons. One, that Senator Morgan has already presented to us. I don't see it. I know we're following the process and we're trying to learn the process, but sometimes, just following the process to follow the process doesn't make sense to me. I do have some concerns about the radio airtime, and I asked other people in my area what they felt about it. There was pretty strong feelings about it, as you might guess. Other than getting out in the state, both for the public and for physicians, would be very important.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people see the board as an 800-pound gorilla that I don't think it really is, and it does a lot of good for the public and for physicians, and I'd like to see it get out there and be known. And when I ask people who you are, they have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to change. Not because of who you are, but you've done the best you could. But getting out in the state, I think, would be very important. So I'd be very supportive of this package. A little caveat there in the airtime, I'm concerned.
Thank you. Yes.
I think I pretty much beat this to death.
Okay.
I think that this is... from the administrative perspective of the process, this is a pretty weak policy to put forward in these kinds of situations. And I appreciate your comments about falling in line behind our budget leadership, but I think that there also is a tacit responsibility on that side to lead us in places that are worth going to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll then move to the LFO adjustments.
as I mentioned in the overview of the process, we don't know what the statewide adjustments are, so I don't have any for this agency, but we will catch them up later if there are. And although I'm hesitant to bring up Package 802 given the discussion, I will give it a shot. Package 802 is the co-chair's 2% reprioritization. The target for the agency was $153,000. As we mentioned, they wanted to achieve part of that target by eliminating Package 104. The rest of the target is achieved for you on the next page. I've detailed how we got to the 118,180. Again, this was in consultation with the agency. A big chunk of it is going to their 10% reductions, which, of course, is required as part of their budget presentation, House Bill 3182. One of the things, Madam Chair and members, that although I don't know if this will help, in terms of the 2% and how it might be used in this program area, obviously their fees can't be used, but if you were looking at an other funds expenditure limitation target, if you will, for the whole program area, you have other agencies that will come before you that have other funds, and if you were to stay at that target, you could allow another agency to increase 2%, provided they had revenue to cover it and still stay within your target. I mean, that's another way to look at the 2% reduction. It isn't just about, yes, it would increase medical examiner's ending balance. For example, let's say Board of Nursing has an initiative that they wanted to do and that you wanted them to do, and they had revenue to do it, but it didn't fit within the constraints of their GOV at this time. You could increase them 2%, and then the reduction in medical examiners, again, expenditure limitation reduction, it would equal out. Mm-hmm. So, again,
just to make sure that I'm getting this straight, if I might.
You may.
So what is the net effect here is that in terms of revenue that can be reallocated, it's $17,743. Or is that, no, you can't even reallocate that because the source of it is licensing fees.
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, I don't think that the issue, now granted in general fund, you're reallocating revenue, if you will. In terms of other funds, you're not reallocating the revenue. You're essentially reallocating the expenditure limitation.
Right.
So, no, their total reduction is $153,000. Package 104 got you $34,820 of it. And then I had and then this package includes $118,180 worth of reductions. The first part, $69,184, is agency-wide miscellaneous services and supplies that they identified as part of House Bill 3182, a 10% reduction. $9,600 they identified as letting go of one permanently assigned motor pool vehicle in the parking space. The next reduction is to reduce professional services, and this was probably the area where we had the most back and forth and negotiation around. It's reducing their reserve that's earmarked for unspecified initiatives. That's $21,653. And then the final to bring us to the target is reducing the Attorney General reserve earmarked for extraordinary contested case costs of $17,743.
So the net result then is that we're increasing their ending balance by $153,000 and not allowing this list of things to happen.
That's right. Yes. It's okay. It'll be all right.
Oh. Further questions, comments? Your pleasure.
Madam Chair.
City Bates.
This will be a kind of a long question for you, so here we go. First off, I'm going to vote to move this to full with the understanding that I already have this can be held in full, and a final decision the budget will be made there. It may come back to us, may be adjusted in full, but we know that.
Senator Bates, I have made the decision that what we're going to do is to try to get this piece of legislation through committee today, and we will just not allow it to go to the full committee until we work out the issues.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
I agree 100%. Having said that, we've got some policy packages coming up that are going to go to the heart of some really difficult things facing the profession right now. and those things, just so everyone understands it, is we have processes of peer review going on in the state, usually at the hospital level, to deal with physicians who we think are working outside their bounds or not functioning well. But at the same time, this board has been restricting its ability to deal with those because they've not received at times the information they need. And it's a tough thing to get those two things straight. If you cut off peer review, people will no longer self-report, and more will be covered up. If you break the barrier between the board and the, as an example, the Patient Safety Corporation, people will stop reporting to them too. Yet at the same time, we have to get vital information to the board in a way that they can take action so that some of the things that have happened in the last year or two don't happen again. I'm hoping that the policy piece that we're going to work on here in the next couple of weeks will at least get us started on the right track to do that. So we don't lose peer review, we don't lose people voluntarily giving good information to those agencies and commissions that can affect patient safety, but at the same time, you get the information you need so you can take action. Well, the case we're all thinking of is one in which you are completely blameless because you never knew. And we can't allow that to happen again. So with those caveats, the understanding that we're working and trying to get these other policies together in a way that will make the best possible weave of how to deal with this problem, I will gladly vote for this budget and move it on.
Members, I want to make one thing very, very clear. The reason this budget came up first, number one, and I know I sound like a broken record, but this agency has been very clean. It has followed the guidelines to which the state set out for them to do in terms of key performance measures. They've been forthcoming in terms of their expenditures. And we wanted to reward them by having this budget up and gone. And again, it's not sanctions as to why we're holding this budget up. It's just some political problems that we have to try to work through before it comes to the full committee of Ways and Means. But by no means reflect on the excellence in budgetary matters as to why this bill will be held up. I want Ms. Hayden to truly know that, and we thank you for your service.
Thank you, Senator Carter.
With that in mind, can I hear a motion?
I would be glad to make that motion.
Thank you.
To move this to
5527.
5527.
Yes. So we have 5527.
We're moving this to full?
Full committee.
Full committee. So moved.
As amended.
As amended.
Yes. Okay. So debates has moved that Senate Bill 5527, Board of Medical Examiners, be moved to the full committee. Are there any objections, or would you prefer a roll call vote?
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
I'm not going to object. I'm going to vote to move this along, but with the understanding that what I would like to have in the way of additional information, repeating what I said earlier, is to have an understanding of what are the opportunities for collaboration between the Board of Medical Examiners and the Patient Safety Commission. There's heightened concern and awareness out there about patient safety in our hospitals. The evidence is a couple of editorials, pretty sharp editorials, Oregonian Statesman Journal recently. So I'd like to get some discussion on the record about what that collaboration might look like. I also want to make the point again that I believe that government needs to be accessible to all the people. And this is a Portland-centric operation, and we need to look at how we can move the Board of Medical Examiners out and around the state. So with that on the record and with an eye toward having a continuing discussion at full or in between, I'm happy to move this along.
Senator Gordy, I can assure you that once I have the opportunity to talk with the co-chairs, and if we can do anything to make it possible for the Board of Medical Examiners to have the flexibility in terms of their transportation costs and needs around them going to other parts of the state, we will but we'll certainly take that into consideration. I know that I'll be working on that. And I heard you too, Dr. Bates, in saying the same thing, that other people in other parts of the state do need to know who you are and what you do other than just regulate, because you're doing some good things. And when you start, and especially when you look at this outreach piece, I think that that's really good. Are there any objections to the House bill, Senate Bill 5527 being sent to the full committee on Ways and Means? Thank you. So moved. Ladies and gentlemen. Do you want at this time to do performance measures? Well, actually, we have no choice in doing this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the performance measures are listed for you in the form. These are the measures that the agency presented to you. The targets have been adjusted for Measure 5 and Measure 6 based on the information that the agency brought forward related to the policy packages, the technology package, and the new folks. They are recommending that they delete old performance measure number 2. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of what the agency proposed, as well as adding the new board best practices measure. And what I can do, Madam Chair, is add some language to the LFO recommendation section to get at Senator Bates's issues around not trying to hit a target for timeliness sake. And so I could add that to this as well. Other than that, and if there were some other issues that the subcommittee wanted me to incorporate into the performance measure report, I could do that. And it looks like you have a question.
I know I kind of went to sleep on this, if you don't mind, because I thought when we went over the performance measures, and then we had Senator Gordon and Representative. Susan Morgan. Good. To go over these, I thought we were through with performance measures.
Madam Chair, and thank you for reminding me, there is a word change in performance measure number 4. It looks like I underlined it, but I forgot to bring it to your attention, and that's the result of Senator Gordon and Representative Morgan's work with the agency, where they changed the wording to say probation's with a new complaint. I believe before it referenced reoffense, and so they have cleaned up that language.
Okay. So let me just ask you today, Deborah, in terms of the performance measure, did we pass? I think everybody else found the other ones okay. I thought that was the only one.
That is correct, madam.
Okay. Oh, great. Then can you, and we'll come back to you, Senator Morissette. Senator Bates, we just passed on a motion to pass this out, but we did not amend this word into it. Now I have to ask you, what do we do now since we...
Madam Chair, we could just do another motion that just dealt with the performance measures, okay. Just recommending that they be sent to the full...
Representative Morgan.
Madam Chair, if you accept a motion, I would make a motion that we move the performance measures for the Board of Medical Examiners as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Morgan moves the performance measures for the Board of Medical Examiners to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any opposition?
Yes.
Opposition.
Thank you. I was not aware that we were going to go through this so quickly. I guess it's my inexperience and not an opportunity to weigh in on performance measures. I missed my chance, I guess. Performance measure 1 and 2, I get suspicious when there's 100%, 100% now. And I understand that it's good that you want to license appropriately and discipline appropriately. Has there been much variation in this area in the past? Has there been some? Could you just say a little bit about that?
Chair Carter, Senator Morissette, the standard we're using is those cases that go to the Court of Appeals, because that's the avenue that's available to either an applicant or a licensee would be to take the board's decision to the Court of Appeals. And to date, none of them have been successful.
follow up, please?
Please do.
Well, I guess I question some of the quote-unquote performance measures as measurements of activities and so on. Is this a challenging performance measure? Is it, you have to make a good presentation to support the peers with the challenges?
Chair Carter, Senator Morissette, it is challenging in that the legal standards have to be met, and we have approximately a half a dozen or so opportunities in which the Court of Appeals has heard these cases. So if the board hasn't met the legal standard, then they will not be. Then the board will not be successful.
Okay, and you never have not been successful, right?
Chair Carter, Senator Morissette, to date we've been fortunate in that we have been successful.
Well, maybe if you lose a case, then that would be a great performance measure to get back to 100%. No, that's fine. I guess performance measures are difficult to do, to measure quality and not just quantity. And, okay, thank you.
Senator Warden and Representative Nathanson.
I found the answer to my question.
Very good, Representative
Nathanson. Thank you. This comment relates to performance measure targets generally, as well as on this particular sheet. On key performance measure number one, a high number is good. 100% means something very good is happening. On performance measure number three, 88% is a very good number. And if in some year the actual was 90%, they would have exceeded the target. So the higher the number, the better you're doing. If I'm reading this correctly, performance measure number four, you really want a lower number, not a higher number. I think it makes it a little confusing for people to quickly absorb where we're doing better and where we're not doing better when we have inverse relationships like this. And I bet we would find this throughout the performance measures, throughout the whole state. But in retrospect, it may have been helpful to develop performance measures so that they're stated either in the positive or the negative, but so that the numbers, you're always looking at a number, either, let's say, always getting higher. For example, if this was stated just the reverse, percentage of total probationers without a new complaint within 3 years, it would have been 94%. And then if it got to 95 or 98%, you'd know you were getting better, and the numbers would be moving the same way as the other measures in this package.
And let me remind you, did you guys remember that when this agency reported that we went through performance measures, and I asked if you had any questions, and then I also said if you have further questions to turn them into Deborah Manthe, because I'd like to get this bill out today. I just don't want your chair being held with the whole issue of not having gone through performance measures. Deborah was being very active, but we went through performance measures quite succinctly, I thought. So, this is a good time to be raising all this stuff right now again. But I just want to remind us that we did do that. Senator Gordon.
I found the answer to the question.
Thank you.
I'm almost scared to say anything. Madam Chair, first I'm going to start by apologizing. The day you did this, I was gone because of family illness.
You were.
I just want to make a quick comment about something that's concerning.
I'm not recommending.
I know.
I didn't want the public out there to think that we didn't go over the performance measures for the Board of Medical Examiners.
You spent a long time on it.
Madam Chair.
Can I make a comment?
We're voting on the motion.
Okay.
Yes. Just a quick comment here.
Yes.
Key performance measure number five is about individuals who are having difficulty probably with drug or mental health problems. Yes. And what's concerning about this is that the rate is going up. And I think it's tied directly back to our early conversation today about a program we're setting up for mental health and drug and alcohol and ability to impact this. a loss of an officer to take care of it. So, I mean, this just to me highlights the need for what you're doing for changes already, and I appreciate that. But it is concerning that number's going up instead of leveling off. Probably a small number of cases can affect things statistically. I understand that, but still, it's concerning, and it's a real problem you take care of for protection of the public. And so I appreciate you being honest about this performance measure and proposing a change that will probably help us bring it down. So thank you.
Senator Marcia?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't remember that conversation, and I apologize. I have not been here. Maybe I wasn't sitting here at that time. Maybe I was out of the room. But tomorrow, no, I just want a point of information. First of all, performance measures are something that I'm vitally interested in.
Okay.
On an ongoing basis. I didn't hear anything said about the Board of Nursing performance measures tomorrow. So if I'm missing something, I need to know it before tomorrow.
They should, the performance measures for the Board of Nursing should be coming up tomorrow.
Oh, okay. But okay. We haven't been given the recommendation to turn in something before.
And I'm saying to you, for those of you who are up on your reading and you have questions regarding the Board of Nursing, would you please give those to Tim? Down in LFO.
Okay.
I'd appreciate that. Tomorrow is the Board of Nursing, and in order for you to do whatever planning you need to do, you'll have the rest of the week off. I'm sorry.
Did we please forgive me. We did not.
We actually voted there.
On the motion that Senator Bates raised 45 minutes ago. No. Representative Morgan raised. Are there any objections? So approved.
We need some carriers.
We need carriers.
This is an aircraft carrier.
Yes.
I would be glad to take this.
Thank you.
I'll probably answer more questions before than anybody else. It's going to put me in the hot seat.
So you would take the Board of Medical Examiners. I'm sure he's going to ask you. You got that right.
Senate in full.
You take the Senate in full.
And then I need a House member.
Okay. And Representative Morgan, will you do that? In the House?
Oh, I'm glad to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further questions, comments? Thank you very much.